Welcome to Nipe Story. This podcast brings you audio versions of short story fiction from Kenya and the African continent. I'm your host, Kevin Mwachiro. And karibu to Linda Musita and her story, Boys.
In the compound, we were all like brothers and sisters, unspoken. No one loved the other in any way except that of California cookies and House of Manji biscuits. Same class of goodies, similar ingredients, totally different process. Eros was saved for people outside the compound. And when it happened, it was sinister, colorful, noisy, fast, hard, intangible, mannerless, uninhabited, poisonous, all-consuming, and greedy. Excessive, like everything of the 90s. For the girls, it was easy to get it, because outside boys came to play basketball in the compound court, and all they needed was to do the most shocking thing of the day to get spotted, like put on black lipstick and chew Big G with a sneer. The boys took it personally and came to ask, "What were you staring at?" and "Close your mouth while chewing." And somehow, tongues would lock with gum inside and pure yuck, saliva and black lipstick smearing all over. Sinister, colourful, noisy, fast, hard, intangible, mannerless, uninhabited, poisonous, all-consuming and greedy. But that's just one example to illustrate the extent. For the boys, they had a hard time because outside girls were always locked in watching No One But You and Wild Rose, so that when even one came out of their house to buy red Draculas, yellow KSLs and Patcos at the kiosks, they had very high standards of the type of boyfriend they wanted. A rich Mexican who would kneel with flowers and diamonds stuck between his teeth, do or die. A guy who would do the fighting and the working and the crying to win his girl. And on top of it, know how to do what Silk said was possible in Freak Me. Compound boys were always dressed like Kandabongo Man in My Love, Elizabeth, with big, fat, shiny Seiko watches that didn't have batteries, but made them look like people with expensive things. They had a designated jobless corner next to purple and orange bougainvillea, where they set up seat-worthy stones, shared deliciously addictive hot loaf meat pies, and regurgitated Rambo movies, word for word, action for action. Really hardcore stuff that would not make any girl care one bit. They were always in collaborative identity crises, with so many things that they wanted to love at the same time. Nothing was above them, except for the one most beautiful woman in Kenya. Their ratio to hers was California cookies to quality street chocolates, different class of goodies, different ingredients, substantially different process. And from their jobless corner, they would go for basketball from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., they would sit in sweat on the court's stairs and fantasize about her. Catherine Kasavuli, with her perfect hair, passing by, calling each of them by full name in perfect diction. She was as gorgeous and unattainable to them as Andre Garcia and Guillermo Capitillo were to the outside girls. There was an outside boy that I really liked. He was way out of my league, to be honest. Thick hair, soft face, big baby eyes, very nice clothes, and could shoot a hoop from anywhere he wanted in that court. No other compound girl liked him, just me. He was shy, and they liked the crazy outside boys, who liked to take them jamming at Bowling Green in City Park, then run over their bodies like tractors at the nearby cemetery, flattening their hearts in front of blue ball monkeys and red buttock baboons, swallowing them whole, bones, nails, teeth, hair, everything, and all their dignity. But mine, he was exactly like the Shimanto in Diana King's song. Maybe the only difference was that he was more fly to me. Very good looking, had both ears pierced, wrong and right at the same time, never harmed anyone. I wanted him to see me, but he was so perfect, and nothing in me or how the rest of the compound saw me made me worthy. I was an extraordinarily ugly duckling. It was hard for me to identify myself in the mirror, unless I tried really hard. And even then, I could not avoid the dramatics my thick lips, nose, and eyebrows caused on my face. I had a profound man face like my father's. This guy never made eye contact. He would cross the road if he saw me coming. And where he couldn't, he would turn and go back from where he came from. Then I would more than any other time believe that I was truly an ogress. Because if it was shyness, he could just look at the ground and walk past me. I was shy too. I never turned back, just burned with anticipation of crossing paths with him. That really hurt. And one day I decided to tell him. I wrote a letter, put it into a juala, and placed it at the basketball bleachers, right at his favorite spot. As I walked away, I started overthinking. What if someone had seen me? Munguan, no way. 20 minutes later, it started raining, and I had to go back and get it because the nylon paper was porous, and I had used a youth fountain pen to write all that mess. I took it home and read it to myself and let the hot embarrassment consume me. Thank God he did not read this aimless stuff, I said. Hi. I really like you, if you haven't noticed. I think you're really handsome and you play basketball really well. I liked what you were wearing yesterday. They made you look like Tevin Campbell. You have very nice clothes. Does someone send them to you from Stato regularly? I think so. I would like to hang with you soon, but I'm not sure you'd like that. You act like you don't see me. I'm invisible most of the time anyway, so it's okay. It's easier to love you when you don't know, but I don't want that anymore. It's not good for me to fantasize all the time. I might go crazy, and then my mother would be so embarrassed. Everyone would laugh at her, including subordinate staff, that her daughter went mad over a boy who wears earrings and baggy clothes and bounces when walking. I want to be your girlfriend, so I don't become a Wangari Mwenda. If you'd like to know who I am, please write back and leave your letter right where you found mine. Tell me if you have a girlfriend, and if you do not have one, what would you like her to look like and wear? With love. Secret admirer. P.S. I love you. Dedication, Shy Guy by Diana King. I mean, terrible. Terrifying. The thought of everything that could have gone wrong if he had read the despicable attempt at a love letter. What if someone else had read it and thought it was for them? Lay in hunt, and then I ended up being run over by the thrilling cemetery boys or something. I know I'm not making sense, but that would be a horrible sudden death for me. I burned the letter. The next day, I was minding my business near the phone booth by the gate on the Irengi roadside, and one of the compound girls came and asked what I was hiding under the bleachers yesterday. She was a management board staff's child, from where they all had cars, 21-inch color TVs, functioning and connected telephone heads, BMXs, dolls, Walkmans, pedal pushers, and tattoo chokers in different colors, not just black. They remained unnamed to the rest of us because their parents told them to never ever hang with us or the administration staff kids like Morgan or the senior civil servant kids like Perpetua. This nameless Mende Kisarani had poured cobra all over herself. The scent was so strong, you'd know what perfume it was if you were kilometers away in the middle of deep sea. She also wore the cobra bracelet that came in the box, just to make sure, if for some impossible reason you didn't suffocate, you'd still know that she had it on. Sneezing, nose running, and in tears, I confidently told her to go and find the thing she had seen me hide, because I knew without a doubt that I had burned the stupid letter and squeezed the hot ashes in my own hand like a real-life Reno Reigns. She came back with a red envelope wrapped in neatly cut, thick, clear plastic book covers. It had my name on it. How? Did Guru Manzira, son of the San Damiano Cross of St. Francis of Assisi? The cobra gave it to me and told me how pathetic it was that I was writing letters to myself and leaving them where boys could find them. She called me mad as I am ugly and left with her cynic smile. I opened the envelope because even if I didn't want it, she was right. This whole situation was as bananas as I was grotesque. Hi, my hot stepper. I like the way you walk. You have cute legs and your eyes are so beautiful. I can't even look at them or into them. Your eyelashes move like a song that can never be still enough to be written. I have long, beautiful dreams about your gaze and your gazelle-like legs. I have wanted to tell you these feelings for a long time. It feels like a gazillion years have gone by with me suffering in silence, stuck in an imaginary gazebo, gazing at you prance around like you're being photographed for a Gazak Gazette. I saw you. I was on my way to basketball court when it started raining. Why did you remove what you put under my spot at the bleachers? It started raining and I went back home. Then I wrote this. If great minds think alike, I know you will bring yours back. And when you do, you will find this one. But next time, carry it everywhere you go, just in case we bump into each other. You'll give it to me then. We don't have to talk. No one has to know. No one has to see. It can be our little secret, if we make it nicely. With love, you know who. Dedication, till the end of the road, by Boys to Men. P.S. Your clothes are really cool. Till the end of the road, that he always stand back on when he saw me, apparently having seen into my eyes from that far. This boy thought he could play a gazillion games with me in that wonderful handwriting with the extended stroke on his small letter E. I caught his pass and made my shot. And my clothes? From the deepest, lowest depths of Sokomjinga. Were cool. Unbelievable, truly. Hi, YKW. YKW stands for You Know Who. I had written that I really like you, if you hadn't noticed. I had dedicated Shy Guy by Diana King. I really wish you didn't see me, because now it feels really bad. I had also written that I think you are really handsome, and you play really well. I had liked what you were wearing the previous day. You have very nice clothes. Does someone send them to you from the States regularly? I had wanted to know. But now I know you like my clothes too, so you are right that great minds think alike. I also said I would like to hang with you soon, but I'm not sure you'd like that. You act like you don't see me. And in your letter, you said no one has to know and see. So I was right. I wanted to be your girlfriend, but I don't know now. You sound like a really silent killer. Like you are Billie Jean's real lover. They say shy guys like you are the worst because you sit in your brains a lot, planning how to make the most damage unnoticed. But you are really cute with that big box haircut and the ear studs. P.S. I love you. Sincerely, M.H.S. Dedication, Wannabe by Spice Girls. I gave it to him the next day. He was wearing the Michael Jordan cologne all the boys who played basketball had. Crowd follower. Next day, same time on Mtama Road, he gave me his response. MHS, I love you too. With love, you know who. Dedication. Can we talk with Tevin Campbell? Because next is too close. And Celine Dion is falling into you. This was getting heavy very fast. Three songs in one dedication was like a marriage proposal with a flower between his teeth. A dream come true for the typical compound girl that I wasn't. Did he think I was that ordinary? But that same Celine Dion he was baiting me with had said, call the man. That man was on the late night dedication show on Metro FM. So the next day, I gave him my reply. Hi, YKW. Listen to Metro FM tonight. Bye. Dedication, Call the Man, Celine Dion. We met on Mtama Road the next day, and this time he did not give me a letter. He stopped me with his hand. So soft, I almost fainted. I listened to your dedication. Is that your real name? You wanted to know my name, didn't you? Yeah, but that one. I think I'm starting to hate you now. It was so vile of him to break protocol and talk to me instead of writing that stuff down so I could sit with it and dissect it like a frog. The rest of the day and the whole night was me wondering if Iris Kaoni was a bad name. See my man face, and then add a name that was going to cost me the love of my life. The day after, I had to go to Kirima early in the morning to buy wholesale kashatas and ball gums for the kiosk my father had leased for my shoplifting mother to keep her busy after her half-day job at Gujarati House. After that, I stayed in the house for a week, listening to Metro every night, hoping for something. And on the seventh day, my man on the radio said there was a super special dedication. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, it is now 10 minutes to midnight, and I would like to close the night and this day with a special dedication for Iris Kaoni from You Know Who. Iris, dear listeners, if you remember, is the lady who sent a dedication to You Know Who more than a week ago, but never gave us his name. Well, You Know Who has a song for her, Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. Heavy song, many feelings. Mapenzi machozi, mapenzi kitungu, mapenzi pilipili, mapenzi kikohozi kizito, mapenzi genetian violet, mapenzi potassium permanganate, mapenzi wembe, mapenzi kiwaru, mapenzi quinin, zote tofauti na sawa. Usimeze bila ushauri wa daktari mashuhuri wa mapenzi, yani mie. Good night, mapenzi, msikili jazba. And he played the song that wanted me to tell YKW that I love him again. Yet, I did not even know his real name, but the whole city knew mine. Meaning the whole compound had a good idea of how badly I was doing over who I am sure they thought was an imaginary person. Because who will make a 3-shilling call to a radio station to send a dedication to a nameless boy? An ugly girl with sokomjinga attire. Mungu one, I was on Mutama Road most of the next day, letter in hand. Hi, YKW. What is your name? Tell me today. I will be out here waiting. I feel like a mad person, and people are definitely backbiting me. Sincerely, Kaoni. Dedication, Twisted by Keith Sweat. He handed me his reply before he went into the compound to play basketball. I waited a few minutes and went through the gates straight to Kambi without looking directly at anything or anyone, just up and down. Once inside our house, I read his letter. MHS, you have finally asked for my name. In my second letter, I dedicated Can We Talk by Tevin Campbell because I wanted to know your name. And then you wrote back and told me to listen to Metro. And you let me know your name in the most unexpected and romantic way. Only for you to tell me that you hate me the next day? I am heartbroken, yet hurty. Dejected, yet devoted. Shaken, yet steadfast. Confused, yet confident. For added measure, your name is quite silly. Iris is a part of an eye, and Kaoni literally means a kamtu that sees. You exist as a ka eyeball, and that is strange to me. That name is peculiar, and when we get married, you'll have to change it to Iris Saruni, because my name is Brian Saruni, alias Saruni. And when you become Iris Saruni, you will be my eyeball. You gaze upon me and my soul for all days. With love, Saruni. Dedication, Week by SWV. I had said my name because the station asked for it when they answered my request call. What a comedy of broken telephone coincidental ironic errors at my expense. And he used the word literally like the pandre whose wife my mother labored for. Saruni's letters were full of high English that, to be honest, I only found charming in books and not in real life. I was going to set the record straight. I called Metro and set it all up. Yes, Killing Me Softly by the Fugees, for Brian Saruni, also known as Saruni of Mtama Road. Special dedication from Iris Kaoni. Tell him I love him too, and we don't have to hide anymore. Remember to also say that he is the same person as you know who, so people don't think I am a player. I sat by the radio that night, and the host broadcast the dedication exactly how I requested it, and he was unfortunate enough to add, Mapenzi kama mimba hayafichiki. Use condoms, Iris and Saruni. Mimba maisha lakini ukimwi waua. How embarrassing. He always put his own ideas into other people's business with an extra commentary on obviously strained love stories that he should have been nourishing, not directing. Because the intention of everyone who called in to dedicate was to communicate with one person, it was not a bonker crusade, and thanks to the radio presenter, Saruni crossed wires again. Kaibol, can I take you to Bowling Green on Saturday afternoon? With love, Saruni. Dedication, Freak Me by Silk. Ngoma Chunuka. This time I did not walk Mtama Road. I sat at the bleachers and waited. He came, smiling, smelling nice, and dressed to kill. And sweat, as usual. Very consistent. I'm not the girl you think I am. I'm not going to have sex with you at the cemetery, with all those monkeys and colonial zombies watching. But on Metro, your dedication. He said we should do it. Go and do it with him. You don't want to do it with me? No, never. It's over. Try these other older compound girls. They lack that stuff that you want to do. Very typical. Like which one? I only want to freak you. Bye. I went down the bleachers and he followed me all the way to Kambi and its prying eyes. Everyone came out and looked. Even Njuri, with his forever loud sukus, had a moment of silence for a boy shamelessly following a girl to her house at the most idle time of day. I stopped outside our door and told Saruni to go away because I do not want to have sex and I will die a virgin. Everyone heard me. It was the only way to save my whole face and name. Okay, listen to Metro tonight, he said to everyone. You too, I said to everyone. Kambi hands folded on chests, rested on doorknobs, stayed akimbo, and pointed at him as he walked away. That night, all radios in the compound were loud and clear. Aerials had been moved and dials tuned before 10 p.m. for clear reception. My dear listeners, today I start with a very special dedication. A double, buy one, get one free. The beginning of an end. Like I always say, and please, repeat after me. Mapenzi, machozi. Mapenzi, kitungu. Mapenzi, pilipili. Mapenzi, kikohozi, kizito. Mapenzi, Genetian violet. Mapenzi, potassium permanganate. Mapenzi, wembe. Mapenzi, kiwaru. Mapenzi, quinine. Zote tafauti na sawa. Usimeze bila ushauri wa daktari mashuhuri wa mapenzi. Yani, mie. And sometimes, get a second doctor's opinion. These two very sad lovers need another doctor. The doctor is themselves. Wajitibu kweli kweli. But before then, Iris Kaoni and Saruni have taken over the first 20 minutes or so of your favorite radio dedication show. One of them even wants to die already. Mapenzi msikili jazba. Romeo and Juliet are live and exclusive on Metro FM. To you, Iris, Saruni sends Without You by Mariah Carey, All Cried Out by Allure, and When a Man Loves a Woman by Michael Bolton. 3-for-1, darling. And you, Saruni. Iris says Kiss and Say Goodbye by the Manhattans. One for the road. Hit it. Like all the other girls, I had thought I was better than. That is how I ended up at the City Park Cemetery on that Saturday, kujitibu na Brian Saruni, under a crescent moon with a kikoi stolen from a table at Bowling Green.
Boys was read to you by Christine Otieno and written by Linda Musita. Boys is one of the short stories from the recently released collection, Mtama Road. Linda is a fiction writer based in Nairobi. In 2022, she was selected as a writer of note by the De Groot Foundation for her upcoming novella project, Immaculate Pandemic. Her work has been carried by DRR, Jalada, Lolwe, Enkara Review, Kikwetu, Fresh Manure, the Africa 39 Anthology, and Fresh Paint Volume 2. And thank you, Linda, for sharing your work with Nipe's story. The two pieces of music you heard in Boys were African Twist by the late Daudi Kabaka and Bwana Nipe Pesa by L'Orchestre Super Mazembe. Nipe Story celebrates African short story fiction and the power of audio storytelling. Therefore, if you'd like us to consider your short story for the podcast, drop us an email at nipestorypodcast@gmail.com. The story should be between 750 and 4,500 words, and we'll be more than happy to have a look at it. Nipe Story is available to download or listen to wherever you get your podcast. We are now on Instagram, and our handle is nipestory_podcast. On Facebook and X, our handle is nipe_story. Thanks for your support and for listening. Nipe Story is a Finger Piano production.